relationship with the U.S. changed now that President Donald Trump will be in the White House come 5 days from now?
Look, Ukraine during the last three years gained a very strong bilateral support in United States. Russia completely destroyed post-war global security system based on the Security Council of the United Nations.
Chelsea Manning pleaded guilty to very serious crimes, leaking highly classified information that put at risk the lives of our troops and our diplomats, our intelligence officers, allies who have helped us around the world. And, you know, Chelsea Manning is serving a sentence and should continue to serve that sentence.
Mrs. DeVos, then let's start with the basics.
In a 2015 speech on education, you were pretty blunt, quote, government really sucks. And you called the public school system a, quote, dead end. In order to clarify, you never attended a public school, K-12 school, did you?
Correct.
And your children did not either, correct?
That's correct.
And you've never taught at a K-12 public school, correct?
I've not, but I've mentored in one.
Okay. I worry about the effect of a leader who believes government sucks on the morale of the workforce.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10 and it is Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. Good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell, another edition of the show. Another business day as we hit midweek, hump day on this busy week that will end with the inauguration of a new president here in the United States. Lots to talk about today, and we will begin with some news out of the transition team this morning. There is apparently some question about whether Sonny Perdue will actually be the agriculture secretary designate. Politico is reporting that there has been some infighting over recent days in the Trump administration, and there may be somebody new emerging as Donald Trump's pick for agriculture secretary. It was long believed that the former Georgia governor, Sonny Perdue, would be his pick. It was reported by Reuters, quoting transition officials, but there has been some change of the course there, and we'll continue following that. Here in Chicago, the Federal Aviation Administration has hit a local company with the biggest fine on record so far for illegally flying dozens of drones over New York and Chicago. The company Skypan International has confirmed it will pay $200,000 to settle a case in which the FAA accused it of launching 65 unauthorized operations in some of the most congested airspace in the United States, heavily populated as well, from March 2012 until the end of 2014 in December. On the WGN Associated Market Desk this morning, Associated Asian shares were mixed following a sharp correction overnight in the dollar that sapped some investor momentum. Japan's benchmark Nikkei recouped earlier losses, rising just about a half a percent. The dollar is leveling off in Asian trading after slumping overnight. Yesterday on Wall Street, the Dow fell to 19,827, just about 0.3%. The S&P and NASDAQ also had lower days. Also in the news today, an American business group says that China is preparing to retaliate if President-elect Donald Trump raises duties on Chinese goods. Trump, who will be inaugurated Friday, threatened during his campaign to raise import duties on Chinese goods to 45%. American companies are frustrated by Chinese market barriers and want Washington to take a tough stand toward Beijing. This morning on our market sheet this morning, Dow futures are pointing toward modest opening gains, up about 18 points right now. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are higher as well. European markets generally are mixed, with the FTSE up just about 13 points. The DAX in Germany is up as well. All of the rest of those markets are lower this morning. Crude oil trading at $51.74 a barrel, off almost a full percent and a half. Are you prepared for an emergency? Do you have enough money to take care of something like a car repair or maybe a trip to the doctor? $500 in your pocket or in your bank account? Most people don't. Almost 6 in 10 Americans do not have enough money to pay for an emergency like that. This is according to Bankrate.com. Jill Kornfield is a Bankrate analyst and is with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Steve.
This is a pretty serious situation because I know that you guys have done this sort of survey annually. You'd think after this warning shot was fired the last time, it might improve. What's going on here?
You know, Steve, it just seems to be a persistent American problem of handling finances. This is the third time we've taken a look, and the numbers are really consistent year over year.
Is it that people just don't have the money available to sock away, or they're just not doing it?
I think optimism might play a part. I think most people think, well, nothing's going to happen. So if nothing's going to happen, then you don't have to put that money aside.
And that's how dangerous is that?
Well, I think it's pretty dangerous because really at any time, about 60% of the population is going to face some unexpected expense in about any 1 year period.
The other part of this, which I want to get into a little bit after our break here for traffic, is credit card debt. Do you get the sense that people, even if they had to pay for one of these emergencies, Jill, that they would be able to come up with the $500 out of their own bank account, or would this have to go to a credit card?
That's a good question. I mean, I think about 60% of the people just don't have ready cash in a bank account that they can just tap very quickly. I think, you know, people have money tied up in retirement savings. They have money tied up in brokerage accounts. But then there are people who are living paycheck to paycheck, and it's a struggle to put some money aside.
You have done this over 3 years now, this survey. Has the $500 figure pretty much remained steady during those years?
Do you mean the amount that people can't touch? Because,
yeah.
Yes, it has. The numbers really haven't changed.
Jill Kornfield is with us from Bankrate. She's an analyst at Bankrate.com.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, a tough day for banking industry stocks ended in a lower close yesterday for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The index lost 59 points, finishing at 19,827. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ Composite also ended lower. An American business group says China is preparing to retaliate if President-elect Donald Trump raises duties on Chinese goods. American companies are frustrated by Eastern market barriers Trump threatened during his campaign to raise import duties on Chinese goods to 45%. Home improvement retailer Lowe's has told 2,400 full-time employees that they will be laid off. The majority of the cuts are at the store level, with some at the warehouse, customer support centers, and at company headquarters. And Deutsche Bank has finalized a $7.2 billion settlement over allegations that it contributed to the 2008 financial crisis by misleading investors about mortgage securities it was marketing. The German bank will provide $4 billion in consumer relief. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 520 on our Wednesday edition of the show. Jill Kornfield is one of the Bankrate analysts from Bankrate.com with us this morning. Almost 6 in 10 Americans don't have enough savings to pay for a $500 car repair, maybe even an emergency room bill. And before the break, we were talking about sort of how this has remained steady over the last few years, Jill. And it brings to mind, you know, people always say have an emergency credit card ready or a credit card ready for emergencies. Is that one way that we might be able to prepare ourselves better for an emergency or no?
Yeah, I mean, if you're prepared to pay off that balance at the end of the month, yes, that's a great idea. I mean, there's nothing wrong with putting an emergency expense on a credit card. But if you can't pay it off and you're going to revolve the charges, you're going to wind up having that original expense balloon.
Because what we haven't mentioned here is just how much credit card debt people are having. I know Bankrate has done a lot of work on this as well. What if you had to give us a snapshot of this, what would it be?
I can't give you an exact stat on credit card debt overall, but I do want to say that I think it's interesting. Millennials seem to be our respondents who are most likely to be able to have cash to pay off an emergency expense, possibly because they are, in fact, very averse to using credit cards.
Yeah, and so it could also be sort of something generational in terms of what their parents taught them or something they've maybe seen with their grandparents. How else could you explain that?
I think they've just been surrounded by a lot of messaging about how dangerous credit cards can be if they're used improperly. So I think that's good that they're getting that message.
Yeah, that's probably a good deal because the other part of the story is just how much credit cards are costing. The interest rates on these cards are pretty high, especially if you take a cash advance.
Absolutely. And I think people don't always know the charges associated with taking cash advances or taking out money in foreign countries.
We saw recently one survey that said Americans may have as much as $20,000 on average apiece in terms of credit card debt. That would compare to almost the 2008 bank crisis, the recession, wouldn't it?
Yeah, sadly, it's really a terrible one, though.
So as we move forward look at this emergency money, what other emergencies would cost $500 or more that you can think of besides car repair?
I think the most common ones are generally appliance repair, something having to go, you know, something to do with a home repair. So really, I mean, you know, it's really not a matter of if, but a matter of when something's going to pop up. You know, if you have a car, a house, an apartment, if you have pets or you have children, I mean, if you're a member of the human race, you have to be prepared for something to go wrong.
Is this a, is there more demographic information about who might be more prepared than somebody else in terms of money and income and education?
Yes, definitely a person's age and work status can determine if he or she is more apt to use savings or credit cards to pay for the unexpected. People who have higher levels of education generally are able to tap some cash. People who make more, you know, not surprisingly, are able to have money put aside. It's surprising that millennials were more able to tap savings. And members of the silent generation, people who are 71 and up, have the highest credit card use for unexpected expenses.
I wonder why that is. Is there any sort of sense of what that might be causing that?
I think when you get to the silent generation, you're looking at people who actually do have a sense that money has to be managed carefully, and they can reach for that card because they know they're going to pay off the card at the end of the month.
Bankrate.com is a good resource for folks. Jill, I know I use it a lot. Give us a sense of how high interest rates are going on credit cards, and what you sort of what you guys sort of counsel people on in terms of picking the right card, and if you're going to go that way, you know what you should do.
Well, definitely check out Bankrate.com for credit card rates, and interest rates can vary from 18% to 21%, and you know, we always counsel people to use credit cards wisely and not, in fact, accumulate the charges month after month so that your original expenses blossom into something just unmanageable.
In the worst-case scenario, Jill, if we don't have money to pay for an emergency, where do we get that money if we can't get it off of a credit card? And is it something that could lead people to bankruptcy in the worst case?
In the absolute worst case, I mean, I suppose anything's possible. But I think that a $500 to $1,000 expense should be something that people either have the cash for. I mean, another thing people do is cut back on spending. You know, restaurant meals are typically something that gets cut out. People look to cut back on vacation expenses. I mean, anything can be on the table. You can even look at your cell phone bill or your cable and satellite charges.
So if you had to give us advice in terms of how we could maybe build up a little nest egg, what would you say?
I would say definitely start by not panicking and thinking that any amount is impossible. Start with even just $5 that you put aside every week, $10. Look for things you can cut out in your budget, and then get to something like $100 to $200 or $300. And once you've amassed this amount, you'll realize the incredible psychological benefits of having that cash cushion. And once you get to $500, you can make it to $1,000.
Jill Kornfield, a bank rate analyst at Bankrate.com. You can find more and follow Bankrate on Twitter at Bankrate. Jill, thanks for being with us this morning on The Opening Bell.
Thanks so much, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. It's 525. By the way, we're on the Bankrate site now. Some of the credit cards that we're finding out there that you might think might have a decent deal. American Express, for instance, the Blue Cash Everyday card, starting at January 3rd, 2017, the rates from 13.5% to almost 24% on that credit card. Capital One Venture card going up to almost 24% as the new year kicked over, depending on your credit rating. The Chase Freedom card up to 24% as well. So definitely something that you should shop around for if you are thinking about getting a credit card for an emergency. Again, this survey that we saw from Bankrate showed the average credit card debt $20,000 to $30,000 for people, and that tops almost matches or tops what it was in 2008, right around the Great Recession.
From ABC News, Tech Trends. Need help editing your photos? Adobe may have the perfect solution.
How can I help you?
It would be like having Siri or Alexa help you create the perfect picture. The software specialists at Adobe are working on a voice-controlled virtual assistant to be used with its photo editing apps. In a proof-of-concept video the company recently posted online, a user can be seen tapping a microphone app and interacting with a Siri-like assistant answering his call.
I'd like to reframe this picture.
Cropping.
Make it square.
One-to-one aspect.
Now flip it sideways.
Flip horizontally.
No, go back.
Undo.
The company says the feature would also include a search function to go alongside its editing tools.
I like it.
Committing changes.
Post to Facebook.
Adobe calls it a first step toward a working voice-controlled interface that could find its way into mobile apps as well as desktop machines.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
With Tech Trends, I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 5:36 here on our Wednesday edition of the show. Jan Edwards, the president and CEO of Paving the Way, here with us on The Opening Bell to talk about Sex Trafficking Awareness Month. 63% of underage sex trafficking victims say they've been advertised or sold online. 325,000 children are at risk for becoming victims of sexual exploitation. Jan, these are pretty startling statistics. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Yes, they are, Steve. Thank you.
So, Sex Trafficking Awareness Month, the goal is to raise awareness, I'm guessing?
Yes. Most people have no idea that this is happening in their own neighborhoods and really in every zip code in the United States.
It's not only happening, but maybe perhaps happening to somebody who lives close by. I mean, we think of this happening in foreign countries, I think, but not here right next to us.
Exactly.
So if you what are the warning signs of seeing stuff like this, seeing perhaps people being victimized? Is there an area where this is more commonplace than not?
No, you know, that's the one thing, Steve, about sex trafficking is it knows no socioeconomic, geographic, demographic, or psychographic boundaries. Really, any child could be potentially at risk. And we really talk about recruiting tactics and then the signs of if you think a child's been trafficked. And, you know, three really simple things to look for is your child becoming more secretive? You know, are they spending a little bit more time in their rooms than they have in the past? An extraordinary drop in grades. You know, I went from a regular class to an AP class. I've always been in AP classes. I've been in National Honor Society, and I'm going from an AB student to a CD student. And it's no logical reason for the drop in grades. And then really the third thing to look for is a brand new group of friends, and they happen to be a lot older than your child. Those are three really great warning signs that your child might be being trafficked. And then, you know, if you're out and about at a gas station or maybe at a restaurant or a bar, even a hotel, you know, 50% of trafficking happens in local hotels and motels. You know, if someone is very fearful, always looking down, anxious, and really afraid to be touched or really show signs of being submissive. And those are things to look for when you're out and about, you know, it really just doing your everyday life. It's happening everywhere. And once you really become aware, you can't not know.
Sex trafficking, I think when you say the headline and say those words, many people might think this is something that happens where somebody is kidnapped and taken away and used in this capacity. But this is happening online. It could happen while your child is in his or her bedroom. It could happen to a teenager online, you know, maybe being sold in a classified ad or something like that. Talk to us about the many different areas how this comes about.
Sure. Well, there's it happens and it happens subtly most of the time. There are some children that they run away. They choose to leave for whatever reason. Their home life is not good or it's perceived not good. You know, sometimes it's reality and sometimes it's you know, it didn't go their way. And then there's other times where pimps will take months to groom and recruit a child. You got to get a child. One child is worth up to $250,000 a year to a pimp. So they're patient. It's very subtle. They get befriended by someone at school. They end up, maybe there's an older gentleman and they meet in a park or a mall. And, you know, there are lots of love and, you know, feigning you're the one and, you know, and it's sudden and rapid and they spend a lot of quality time. They might, you know, give lavish gifts. And the next thing you know, you're at a party, you might be roofied, you might have an expectation, well, I've given you all these gifts, this is how you're going to pay me back. And it's a surprise, but then this person has really built up a great amount of trust and driven a wedge between you and your family and you and your friends, and you become isolated, and you're like, well, I guess this is what I have to do. And you have to remember, the average age is 12, Steve. So this isn't a adult thinking, I would never do that. These are children being lured and intentionally recruited into this life.
You mentioned the money involved here. I was going to ask, who are the pimps, first of all, and how much money is involved here? You answered the money part, up to $200,000 per child. But who are these pimps?
They come in all different shapes and sizes. It's not what it looks like in the movies. You know, you've got young men and young women that that, you know, I have to talk into the to Homeland Security and FBI trying to understand pimps. A very high percentage of them, 90-95% of them, were abused as children as well. And it's like the empathy has been cut off, and they literally view human beings as a product. They just as soon sell that person as they would a bottle of water. It's a product to them. It doesn't even register in their mind that they're doing something wrong. So, you know, pimps can come from all shapes, sizes, and backgrounds and colors.
So as for parents, what can you tell us about keeping our kids safe and maybe figuring out that they are involved in something like this? How can we figure this out and prevent it?
Sure. Parents are the front line of defense, Steve. You know, parents, I implore you, I beg you, that extra hour you might stay at work, you know, a couple nights a week, leave early. Leave on time so you can have dinner with your children. Instead of turning on the TV, go play a board game. Go for a walk. You know, go do something where you're actually engaging in dialogue with your child, because you'll notice the subtle signs. You'll notice the subtle changes. You'll notice that if your child has loved playing a sport, or loved in being in theater or dance, or loved playing an instrument, and all of a sudden they completely lose interest in that, that's really a red flag for you. If they show up with lavish gifts, you know, someone shows up with a brand new purse or a really beautiful bracelet that you're clear they couldn't afford, that's a red flag. You know, and I promise you, if you really spend quality time with your kids, you will start to notice little subtle changes that you can interrupt. And see, there's help everywhere. And I give, every time I speak, I give the National Trafficking Hotline number. And I want everybody to put this phone number right in their phones right now. And if you're driving, go online and look for this number. It's the National Trafficking Hotline, and it's 888-3737-888. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can report signs right there. If you're at a gas station and you see a young person surrounded by several older people and it's clearly not a familial relationship, you can call the hotline and report the tip. If you're in a hotel and you see a girl walk down the hall that's clearly dressed inappropriately and it's not Halloween, you pick up that phone number and you make the call. And, you know, every time I've spoken, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten messages going, Jan, thank you so much. I made the call.
That number, again, let's make sure we have it right, 888-373-7888.
Yes.
So, Jan, how can corporations and schools get involved in this and prevent sex trafficking?
Yeah, really great question. See, corporations can find organizations in their neighborhood to support, you know, paving the way. We have a foundation, and we train mission ambassadors in our schools to actually go out and create a presentation. I have a film called Trapped in the Trade, and they go out and they show the film, and we engage in a conversation for exactly that. Because, see, I don't have all the answers, but you do, meaning people out in that are listening right now. You actually have the answers. And so we engage in conversation, and that's one of the ways is corporations can support organizations such as Paving the Way, and they can go to StopTraffickingToday.com and become a partner. They can find a organization locally there, or they can actually pick up the phone and go, hey, you know what, our school wants to create mission ambassadors. What do we need to do? And we'll come up and train them.
Jan, over recent years, we've seen local police departments here in Cook County. Our sheriff's department has been really involved in this. And one of the areas that they attacked was Craigslist, and they went after mm-hmm. Craigslist, and Craigslist has made some big changes. How significant were those changes that Craigslist made, and is that making a dent at all in preventing some of this from happening?
No. If you go to, I was just on Craigslist the other day with a survivor, and she said, no, you have to look it up here. It's called Casual Encounters. You can still, they're still selling sex. And it's up to us to really, you know, put our foot down and say no more. You know, that Backstage.com, they've changed their adult section as well. And we'll see how long it lasts.
And there's some simple things, too. I was struck recently when I was watching an interview with Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and somebody brought to the attention of everybody after the interview that his computer sitting behind him had a piece of tape over the camera. This is a way that people can access cameras without you even knowing it or your kids even knowing it.
They sure can. And, you know, I also encourage parents, you know, don't be a helicopter parent. I'm not talking about that, but I am talking about being smart and keeping your children safe. There are several software programs that you can monitor your child's online activities, particular social media, and that's where these predators go. You know, they look for the lost, the lonely, and the rebellious. And all it takes is that one comment online of, my mom didn't, you know, show up at my game, or my dad didn't pick me up on time. That one little complaint that these predators will go in and look, and they'll start to drive the wedge between that child and their family.
How hard is it, Jan, to get somebody out of this trade if they, let's God forbid, say one of our kids gets involved in it? Is it hard to extract them from this and prevent pictures of them from possibly being spread, or, you know, something like that happening? I mean, what is the difficulty with that?
It really is, because most victims don't self-identify as a victim. They're in love. You know, they're in it for that 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of love and affection from this person. And they'll go to the end of the earth for that. That's the one thing. Is as human beings, we are driven to be loved. And if they're not, if children aren't getting the love and affection from home, at home, if they're not getting any kind of love and attention from their friends or other family members, they'll go seek it elsewhere. And so they don't even realize they're victims.
You have been fighting this and raising awareness of this for 25 years or more. Your organization, Paving the Way, is also heavily involved. Are you optimistic about the progress that's being made going forward?
I actually am, and I've actually only been at this for 3 years, Steve. I was in telecommunications for 25 years. I do. I'm very optimistic. This is becoming more and more prevalent, the awareness piece, and people really noticing that this is a challenge. I've met some incredible people this year that are, they're really out to do the same thing, is to really stop it. There's several organizations that are committed to rescuing children. There's organizations that are committed to educating the public, and there's several organizations that are really out to help the Johns, because that's the other, you know, that's the other piece of that puzzle.
Jan Edwards is the president and CEO of Paving the Way. You can find more information at stoptraffickingtoday.com. And that number again, where you can report potential activity, 888-373-7888, 373-7888. That's 888, toll free. Jan, thanks for being with us in the opening bell.
Steve, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, as we move toward the opening bell this morning, Dow futures are positive, but just by a little, up 6 this morning. S&P and NASDAQ futures a little bit higher as well. For the latest on agriculture and commodity now, here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A pretty good day for cash cattle and live cattle, and a pretty good day for the grain market yesterday. As we saw, first of all, soybeans hitting a six-month high. The reason? Concern about rains in Argentina. Some analysts there saying it could cut the soybean yield in Argentina by 10%. So soybeans in March up 23 cents for the day, and that put them at 10.69 and a quarter. March corn got strength from the soybean market, up 7 cents a bushel, 3.65 and a half, and March wheat up 7.5 cents a bushel in yesterday's trade. Pretty good day for livestock traders, particularly live cattle futures. Yesterday, climbing to their highest level in 10 months after investors digested the better-than-expected cash cattle prices last week. On Friday, packers paid $118 to $120 per hundredweight for cash cattle that a week earlier were bringing about $2 less at $118. Well, the attendance was down at the Farm Log Outlook Conference in Des Moines yesterday, but still a pretty good attendance despite the ice storm. We're going to do it again tomorrow, Thursday, in Champaign. So we hope to see you at the iHotel for, once again, another Outlook Conference from the folks at Farm Log. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. And now on the Associated Bank Market Outlook for this Wednesday, it's January 18th, 2017. The Labor Department releases its Consumer Price Index for December. The Federal Reserve will present its report on industrial production for December. We'll also get a look at the Beige Book from the Federal Reserve. The National Association of Home Builders unveils its housing market index for January, and Treasury will release international money flows data for November. The Goldman Sachs Group reports its quarterly financial results, and Citigroup also reports as well on this business day. Netflix reports quarterly financial results after the market closes. The World Economic Forum continues in Davos, Switzerland. Just some of the things that could move the markets as we go through this day.